Back here at Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones off today. Billy Lanny has slid over, and we're taking your phone calls as well at 617-779-7937. Rob Bradford will join us at 11 o'clock for a Baseball Isn't Boring full hour. He was just down in Atlanta for the All-Star break and talking to a bunch of the players there. I don't know if he was trying to recruit Joe Ryan as much as Alex Bregman and Garrett Crochet were, but every little bit helps.
Did he give him a sticker?
Yes. Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah, that's actually maybe our first question for Rob. How many stickers and shirts did you bring with you?
Yeah, how many did you bring? How many did you give out?
Right. Oh, those guys are probably wearing them left and right. The players do like them.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to give Bradford credit. It is savvy marketing. It's a good slogan. And whether those guys even know it's a podcast, they're like, hell yeah.
Right.
I can get behind that.
I love when you always see like a random person too with the shirt.
Yeah.
Like, nice. All right.
Nice.
Getting out there.
Another question we can ask him, the most famous person to wear the shirt.
It's a good one.
Who could it be? My guess is Derek White.
I was going to say Derek White. Eduardo Perez was wearing it on
MLB. I was going to say, and if you are wearing the shirt, send it to Bradford. He will immediately retweet it.
Tyler O'Neill, I think, was another one with it. He had his in Baltimore colors.
Tyler O'Neill did the 2-minute grill on the pregame show twice a week. Might as well have been a co-host, Tyler O'Neill. As for the Red Sox and how sustainable the second half would be, we kind of went through the starting pitching. We think Crochet you can count on, although, yeah, sure, question the innings. Bayo, I want to believe it.
Same with Giolito.
Bueller can't really be worse, right? So you had a guy that had an ERA over 6, and either they got to yank him out of the rotation or he's going to have to get better. So it's sort of one of those two. But it also screams like they need an addition there. They need somebody to help even before Hunter Dobbins got hurt. Mm-hmm. Like you need somebody else that can help you out in the bullpen. In the rotation. As for the bullpen, Chapman's having one of those years where I feel good about Chapman. Like the guy's nasty.
Never in a million years did I expect this season out of him.
No.
Performance, an all-star appearance, not I figured like because then when he got him, it's like, okay, so now we have a like closer battle. Because we thought between him and Hendricks, we thought it would be one of those two who were the closer. And never would I have picked Chapman to win that battle.
He is killing it right now. He should be in contention for Rolaid's relief, man.
Of course.
1.18 ERA this season for Chapman. The last time he had an ERA under 2, 2016. He was really good in 2019 as well.
I don't even know what the hell he was in 16.
16?
Chicago? Red?
It was both the Yankees and the Cubs.
Because what do you know? He went Cubs,
he was
Yankees,
the closer
Cubs?
For the Cubs World Series.
Yeah, right. Cubs, Yankees, Cubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's played on a bunch of teams because then he was with Kansas City. He was with the Rangers. He was with Pittsburgh last year. We're talking about he kind of split time. He ended up with 14 saves. So he already has more saves this season than he did all of last year. But he has like a track record where like he has been nasty before, and we're seeing it right now. They've had other guys pitch pretty well in the bullpen too, right? Like Justin Wilson's been good. Weissert overall has been good.
Mm-hmm.
Whitlock. So I feel like...
I mean, Slayton had a decent few good outings before he got hurt.
Definitely. So they could always add to the bullpen. Every contending team could add to the bullpen. But if they don't, I feel like they could probably get by. Mm-hmm. Also, the way Cora kind of uses his starters in the playoffs.
Right.
I don't know. I feel better about the bullpen than I do the rotation right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, you can always use another starter.
Yeah.
But yeah, their bullpen, I think, is in pretty good shape.
All right. As for the lineup, as for the everyday hitters... do we feel like it's sustainable as far as guys that were, you know, were better than we thought in the first half, worse than we thought, or as we thought? So, Jaren Duran.
Lineup is out.
Oh, hell yeah. The lineup for today is out?
The lineup for today where there's no game.
Now
tomorrow. Oh, I was going to say, tomorrow around this time, I think we'll have it?
We might have it tomorrow around this time.
That's why he threw
me off.
To,
we're going to have to Bulls music it.
We'll have to Evan Drellick right into the Bulls music tomorrow. That's a promise for you. But Jaren Duran, let's start at the top of the lineup. First of all, do you expect him to be on the team for the second half of the year?
I do.
Yeah.
I think he will be, and I'm hoping he turns it around. After how last season was, we had high expectations for him going into this season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot going on. He dealt with the story from Netflix coming out and dealing with that crazy guy in Cleveland, I think, you know. But I think he's with the team, and whether he turns it around, I'm not too sure, but I think he's here for the rest of the season at least.
So I hope so, and I've sort of gone back and forth on this. You know, you asked me at the beginning of the season, I would have been like, it's insane to trade him. And then a few weeks ago, I was like, yeah, I'd do it for Joe Ryan. And then you see this winning streak, and you're like,
I don't want to touch anything.
I want to leave same. Like, just trade the minor leaguers. Right. Trade all those guys. So I don't know. Like, in long term, that becomes another interesting question. Like, what is your outfield? I don't think for the next 5 years you want to have to ping pong guys from DH, third base, left field, right field, center field. So between Roman Anthony, Jaron Duran, Willier Abreu, and Seydon Rafaela, I don't think all four of those guys can be on the roster for the long haul, but I think they can all be on the roster for this season.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to keep Jaron Duran. Also of note, July, even though we're only halfway through, has been his best month of the season by far. So I think he's going to be a lot better in the second half.
He kind of did that last year. He was really slow for the first few months of the season. And then in June, July, and August, he kind of
took off. All-star MVP. Slipped an all-star MVP in there.
Also an all-star MVP. He maybe it's one of those, you know, the weather gets hot, the bats get hot. But no, he had a couple of home runs in back-to-back games against Colorado. He's been getting on base a decent amount, scored a few runs. But he's got a .966 OPS for the month of July. For the season, it's like over 100 points lower than what it was a year ago. So I think of all the guys that you would look to and say, you know, they're 8 games over .500. Jaron Duran's been fine. Because we get a lot of pushback when we did our midseason superlatives, midseason awards or whatever, like team awards. And we said most surprising player in a bad way was Jaron Duran. And everyone's like, oh, you guys hate Jaron Duran. Wrong.
No.
Wrong. We don't hate him. We just thought he was going to be better.
Right.
That's all.
Great year last year, all-star, like I said, all-star, right. All-star MVP. Like, you enter the season, you had certain expectations.
Yeah, like,
hasn't met him yet this year.
He literally went from all-star game MVP to a guy that missed the all-star game, even with all the injury replacements, and nobody even referred to him as, like, a snub. Like, he was nowhere near making the all-star team this year. So that was surprising, because other people are like, wow, Connor Wong. Like, well, Connor Wong's just not great.
No.
Like, if you had high expectations for Connor Wong,
that's
really,
on you.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, that's definitely on you. So, Duran, I'd put down as, I think he's going to be a lot better in the second half, and hopefully it's with the Red Sox. Trevor Story. I don't know. Trevor Story's not been my favorite player since he's been here. He's been hurt a lot. This year, knock on wood, he has been healthy. He is a guy that started out very slow, painfully slow. Month of May, he hit .158. For July, he's hitting .391 with an OPS over 1,000.
Warm weather.
But I think it might be maybe a balancing out thing
where
he's not as bad as that month. He's not as good as this month. So maybe
he'll take something right in the middle. And his defense has been good.
Yes, that's true. So you'll take that. He's been helpful. But he's hitting .257 with a .715 OPS. Maybe that is what you get. It's
right.
Just like, how streaky is it? Like, is he good the rest of this month, then kind of quiet in August, and then hopefully he's good in September? Like, I don't think he's going to be this the rest of the way. But if you just look at his first half totals, I bet that it kind of is what he
is. That sounds like the player he is.
Seydon Rafaela, it also went into the All-Star break. Insane.
Right. Like, I don't want to say, like, oh, it's going to fall. It's going to fall apart for him. You know what I mean? He's fun to watch. He's playing great. You really do hope he can sustain it. I don't want to say, like, oh, well, he's doing so well, he's due to go down. I'm like, no.
Well, I think it's since the end of May, he's in the top three in basically every hitting category for center fielders.
It's wild. No, when Passan had that line the other day about he's one of the best center fielders in baseball, and there was no caveat of, like, best defensive center fielders. Like, no, he's straight up one of the best center fielders in baseball. Again, it's only half a month, but for July, his OPS is over 1,300. He has 5 home runs, including the walk-off, couple steals in there. He has scored 10 runs. They can move him up in the lineup. They can move him to second base if need be, which I don't have a problem with. Do you care moving him around?
No.
No.
No, if he's fine with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not Devers.
But that's the thing, too. It's like, you're not dealing with a guy like Devers who's like, no,
I won't do it. I play third base. It's like, well, not on this team. So anyway, Rafaela is another one. I view Rafaela as kind of like Story, where he's not going to be as good as he was in the month of July. But when you take what he's done the whole first half and, like, what he contributed to in the whole first half, I think you're going to be probably get those numbers. And maybe Rafaela is having sort of the Jaron Duran year. Like, Jaron Duran, top 10 MVP candidate. Right now, Rafaela would be a top 10 MVP candidate.
Easily.
Which is crazy.
Right.
Like, Aaron Judge will run away with it, and then Cal Raleigh, big dumper, will finish second.
And then it's open.
It's open that, season, right. I think. And believe, like, shocking. I wouldn't have had Rafaela pegged as a top.
No.
even 10 in the Red Sox.
Even in the MVP conversation at all.
No.
He's making your don't pay guys early theory look real bad, huh?
It is, Nick. Thank you. Thank you very much, Nick.
Well, it could be back to normal next year.
No, it is true. That had been a working theory. Well, you know who's also making it look bad is Bayo. If Bayo keeps this up, but I'm not as sold on it. Do you feel better about Raffaello or Bayo having a good second half?
I'm going Raffaello.
Same.
I'm going with Raffaello.
I think so, too. Willier Abreu, sort of an interesting one. He got out to a really, really hot start. He does have 18 home runs, though, which leads the team. But, I mean, I think, you know, he's hitting .256 and an .822 OPS.
Off your Durant question, is he here the rest of the year? Is he the odd man out in that outfield?
I kind of think they're all here this year. I'm coming around to that.
Yep.
And I think the 10-game winning streak might speak to that. If they're all here and then this offseason, both Durant and Abreu, maybe they shot both of them and then they keep one and trade one. Because, like, Roman Anthony either has to be your everyday left fielder or he has to be your everyday right fielder.
I mean, you had your big three. If you did big four,
yeah,
Abreu would have been...
What do you mean?
That other guy, right?
Oh,
right?
For young dudes?
Yeah, like when it comes to, like, your young players, like...
Although he's 26, so he's, like, a little bit older than, like, Anthony. And he's, like, in between. He's not as old as Durant, but he's older than, like, Meyer, Anthony, and
right.
Campbell. But he's got... Sneaky, the most power maybe on the now that Devers
is never
gone?
In a million years would you think it either.
No.
So the Red Sox play a game, they have a swing off. You're putting Abreu up there.
Probably.
Right.
I would go Abreu, Bregman, and Romy against the lefty.
Yeah.
Romy was hitting home runs off of righties.
That's true.
Romy, can you make that request?
Romy's on fire. I think you should be able to.
Right.
But give me a lefty bullpen arm out there and toss it in. My guy Carlos Narvaez. That's one where I don't know if you can guarantee.
All right, that's one. That's one I can make. Yeah, that's that. It's gonna be very tough to sustain that. But
he might dip. But then flip side, Alex Bregman missed 40 something games. So if Bregman plays the rest of the season, I think the lineup has a chance to still be really good. Like Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer were sort of getting used to major league pitching, and we've seen some pretty some high moments from those guys, but the consistency hasn't really been there. But I think. I don't know. They're one of the majors' best offenses.
I feel like you can't be shocked if they go either way with those guys because they're so young.
Oh, the young guys?
This is all new to them, you know. So if it goes up, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, nice. This is what we were expecting. If it goes down, you're like, nah, he's a young guy. He's just learning the league. Let's see how he looks next season.
But I do think if you stack their lineup up against the Yankees lineup, Tigers lineup, Astros lineup, I think it's pretty comparable.
I do.
Like I don't think too many guys are just like playing way over their heads. There was a time where it looked pretty bad. Like when you were starting David Hamilton or you had like Sogard up or like some of those guys. But with Yoshida in the lineup when need be, with Bregman healthy, with both Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer, I'm like, I kind of like the lineup top to bottom.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to watch.
It is. That's the other
thing.
It's
fun to watch. It's such a good combination of like young up and coming players and a couple handful of veterans in there. They're I won't say musty TV, but they're definitely interesting.
Yeah, they're close. I mean, we'll never have Manny Ortiz back-to-back ever again.
No, we were beyond spoiled.
Yeah.
Just everything about this city, we were beyond spoiled for 20 plus years.
It's true. Although I do think if they consistently go Jaron Duran, Roman Anthony, Alex Bregman, that's a fun 1-2-3 in the order. And then you have some other guys like Raffaello later in the lineup. Like that's pretty good. All right, you can join the program at 617-779-7937. Rob Bradford's going to join us at 11 o'clock for a full Baseball Isn't Boring hour. But coming up next, Shaquille O'Neal all fired up at Robert Griffin III, which got us thinking about some of the great sports rivalries already this year. And I'm not talking about on the court or on the field. I'm talking about some beefing going on. Shaq pissed at RG3. We'll get to that next.